Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Casey, and I welcome you to our first worship service of 2017. Yay! We are about to enter a sacred time. We are about to make this time and this place sacred by our presence and intention. I invite us to turn down the volume on our fears, to remove our masks, and to loosen the armor around our hearts and breathe. Let go of the expectations placed on you by others and those they taught you to place on yourself. Drop the guilt and the shame, not to shirk accountability, but in honest expectation of the possibility of forgiveness. Let go of the thing you said the other day. Let go of the thing you dread next week. Be here in this moment and breathe. Let's take a deep breath together. That's nice. Thank you. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular for those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out the visitor card in the back of your gray hymnal and place the card in the offering plate or give it to an usher. And we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about programs and activities going on here at church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children, age 5 and under. You can turn left through those doors and go to the first room on the left past the foyer. And at my right here is a spirit chair, which includes quiet activities for all ages, not just children. You're invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back with you to your seat. Religious education classes for elementary school age and children, we have those next week. And for today's service, children 6 and older are invited to stay with their families. And now we'll have some announcements. First announcement is a squirrel got into the worker room over the break and wreaked havoc and chased our cleaning lady out. So as you saw as you came in, a lot of us were doing some church team cleaning. So we've got that all scoured, clean, and disinfected. An announcement from Michael Schmidt. We will be co-hosting a film viewing on Wednesday, January 11th at 6:45 with Moms Demand Action Against Gun Violence. We'll be watching The Armor of Light and then having a discussion afterwards. All church members are invited and encouraged to attend. So again, that's Wednesday, January 11th at 6:45, a film viewing. Also, don't forget next week is our semi-annual board meeting at 11:30. Be there or be square. And in case you missed the internet announcement, on January 20th, we are having a soup and raffle night. This is a casual get-together to enjoy each other's company and avoid the political news for a while. We're asking folks to bring their favorite soup to share, but if you're transporting a soup, if transporting a soup is too difficult, desserts and things that go along with soup would also be great. Mac and cheese is also welcome. This is a great announcement. This is a sign-up, there is a sign-up sheet in the worker room, and you can update Mary Weber via UU Friends. Your friends are also welcome, but please let us know how many are coming. About the raffle, if you want to donate an item, it doesn't have to be anything expensive. It can be a thing you would wager a dollar or two on. Just look at this as an opportunity to make good use of those Christmas re-gift items. So mark your calendars, Friday, January 20th, around 6:30. One final thing, if anyone who would like to come early to set up, that would be wonderful. Just let Mary Weber know. Also announcements, the first three pews on the left are designated fragrance-free. And for those of you who may be sensitive to chemical fragrance found in any personal care items, detergents, perfume, please do not sit in those pews if you're wearing fragrances of any kind. Cell phones, especially iPhones, interfere with our sound system and our recording, so please turn them off or put them in airplane mode. I'll give you a minute to do that. We appreciate it, as there are members who listen to the recording, since they are unable to be here. Actually, I need to turn mine off too. We begin our worship with a prelude by our accompanist, Nicole Robbins. Thank you. As Alex Reiheld lights our chalice, please join in the opening words found in your program. We light this chalice on the brink of a new year, letting go of what has been, open and hopeful for what may come, renewed, restored, ready to live life fully anew. May we move forward with intention.
Come, come, whoever you are. Do you hear that voice calling you, calling us? That voice which calls us together here today in this room, made holy by our presence and by the sacred breath we share in our singing and speaking and silence. That voice which calls us to remember that we are not alone, and that we are inextricably linked to all other life, woven into a vast tapestry of existence, of which we are all powerful, integral, and holy part. And just as we have been called here together today, we act as the voice, the heart, the hands of another call, the call to walk with the wanderers, sing and dance with the worshipers, proclaim the memory of those who have taken their leave, wrap the despairing and broken in the arms of love and community, and hold the hands of all of us who have broken our vows and call us back again, again and again, to the covenant and the work of justice, humility, and steadfast faithfulness. For this we are here together today. So, my friends, come, yet again come, let us worship together. That was by Reverend Ian Riddell from the UUA Worship Web. Please rise in body or spirit to join in singing Gathered Here, hymn 389 in the Gray Hymnal. We sing it through twice.
Story. So if I could have all the kids and youth come sit on the floor right in front of me here. Okay, so you're going to be able to have to possibly get up and move a little bit. So the title of this story or poem today is called A Recipe for a Happy New Year. Who can tell me what a recipe is? Alex? That's right. Okay, so that's kind of what this poem is about. So I am going to have you guys help me make this recipe for a new year. Okay, so we're going to have to use our imaginations a little bit. Okay, so I am going to pass out some of these ingredients for you. You may get two, because there's quite a few of them. And during the poem, when I start reading it, when I start asking that we're going to add this, I'd like you to come up and place that ingredient in this bowl. This is going to be our mixing bowl. So some of the ingredients are faith. So I have a symbol of our UU faith. Would you take that? The next ingredient is patience. So Alex, you want to grab that one? The next one is courage. It's supposed to be a little cape. The next ingredient is hard work. So where do you guys work hard at?
School.
School, yeah. Okay. The next ingredient is hope. The next ingredient is generosity. And Alex, I can't reach you, but it's acts of kindness. And who wants to have prayers? Alex? And meditation? Good deeds? Actually, I have three more. I have fun. Who likes to have fun? All of you. Oh, Alex. And who likes to play? Robbie. Who likes to have good humor? Okay, so we're going to be using our imagination today. So in the poem it says, take 12 months. So I have a calendar given to me by my local fire department, 2017. I have this calendar, and it says, clean it thoroughly of bitterness, hate, and jealousy. So I'm just going to kind of shake it,
burn it,
wipe it off. It's a new calendar. I haven't done anything. So it's clean. It's supposed to make it just as fresh and clean as possible. So I think it's good. Now it asks me to cut up. It says, where am I? Cut each month into 28, 30, or 31 different parts.
Oh.
So I'm not cutting it up, but I made a copy of it. So I'm just going to start cutting this up a little bit. But it says you're not supposed to do it all at once. We're supposed to take one day at a time.
Yes.
So I'm actually cutting out today's date, which is the 8th of January. Not a good cut, because I'm doing this quick, but the 8th of January, and I'm going to put it in the bowl, because we're going to be making the recipe for today. Okay, so it says, okay, mix well into each day one part of faith. Who has faith? All right. And one part of patience. Patience. And how many of you are patient? Yeah, sometimes. All right. One part of courage and one part of work. Okay. So I'm mixing it in this bowl. So add to each day one part of hope. And what do you hope for this year? Anybody? Okay, all right. We have faithfulness, generosity, and kindness. Who has kindness?
Alice.
It's a little heart shape. All right. Thank you. Now I'm going to mix this up a little more. So we're supposed to blend with one part of prayer and one part of meditation. You have that. All right. And one good deed. All right. Has anybody done a good deed so far this year? What have you done? Can't think of anything? Okay. So we're supposed to season with good spirits. I didn't have good spirits, so this is my spirits. I'm sprinkling it in here. We're using our imagination here. And we need to sprinkle it with fun. Who has fun? Fun. Fun. And a pinch of play. And a cup of good humor. All right, there's our cup of good humor. So we have all the ingredients here. So now it says to pour this all into a vessel of love. I have a baking dish. It's a heart. This is a vessel of love. So we're going to pour all this, and I've mixed it all in here. And it says to sprinkle it with smiles. So you can't see in here, but I have these tiny little bitty smiley faces. Okay? Can you see the smiley faces? So I'm going to sprinkle this in here. Okay. Okay, so now you're going to really have to use your imagination, because now it says to cook thoroughly over radiant joy. It says radiant joy right here. So we're going to pretend that this is an imaginary magic oven. Okay? So we're going to bake this. We're going to put it in the magic baker, and we're going to sit here for just a little bit. Okay. So it's cooked. It's magic.
Ding.
And what we come out with is something totally different. It's Happy New Year. And it's a pan of brownies.
Oh, yay!
It's a pan of brownies. See, the oven was really magic. Yeah, see here. It's a pan of brownies.
Oh, don't look behind there.
And we made Happy New Year. So, yeah, see, really, it's really magic here. So, so if we are patient and hopeful and kind and generous and we have fun, we work hard, and we have a sense of humor, and we do good deeds for other people every day for the rest of the year, we're going to bound to have a good year and brownies. So, the last part of it says to serve with quietness, unselfishness, and cheerfulness. And so each of you are going to get a little bite of brownie to take with you back to your seat. So just a second here. You'll get a brownie. You
patience,
just have to be
yes,
patient. This is where patience comes in.
The first
Hang
one
on, let me just
hardest.
Get a couple...
Patience.
Sit down, guys. Sit down. I know. This doesn't take... This is me not being patient, but... Okay. Take that.
Wonderful.
And go back and sit down. Alex?
We know that our financial contributions to this congregation come from sacrifice and hard work. We are so grateful for this and commit ourselves to ensure the funds we gather collectively do a greater good for ourselves and our world more than we could have done alone. May there be an offering to sustain and grow the life and mission of this congregation, and may we give in love and in hope. The ushers will now take up the offering.
Joy has a wonderful recipe for human living, but there is no recipe for our conception of God. Glenn Rideout wrote a wonderful poem that he delivered at the UUA convention this year, I think, called God is No Noun. And I find every time I reread it, I find something new in it. God is no noun, and certainly not an adjective. God is at least a verb, and even that shrinks her. God is not so much a woman as she resides in the improbable hope of brown mothers. God is not so much a man as he is at work in the memory of my grandfather's laugh. God is not trans. God swims in the tears of the one who sees her real self at long last in the bathroom mirror. God is not black, neither is he white. God is waiting in the contradiction of songs from slave shacks. And I have seen God in the alabaster smiles of children at play. We're getting Michelangelo all wrong. God is not the bearded one surrounded by angels, floating over the Sistine. He is not Adam with his muscled back pressing the earth. No, God is the closing inch of space between their reaching fingers. Don't believe for a minute that God is Catholic. For God's sake, he isn't even human. Have you heard the wood thrush when the sun glistens the Huron? Can you see the flowers, how they speak to bees without a word? Still, God is no spring blossom, no wood thrush. God is neither the sun nor the bee. God is what you see in the blossom. God is when you hear the river and suddenly discover how much of it is a part of you. To be clear, God is not you. God is somewhere in the 14 billion years which have come to mean that you are. God is, after all, at least a verb. She is neither Pharaoh's rod nor Moses' staff. We must be the ones to cease our slavery. She is not interested in blame. Neither does she offer praise, truth, gratitude. Those are ours to breathe. She will not have your answers. She is too large for human answers. She dances too wildly to be fastened to them. And answers are nouns anyway. God is at least a verb, twirling in the radiant reds of spring blossoms, singing in the rare silences between rapid opinions, attending the tears of dark-skinned deaths, learning in tiny alabaster smiles. God is waiting in the space between fingers that might connect. He is waiting for us to stop naming her. She is waiting for us to see all of him. God is waiting to be unshrunk.
So now we have a responsive reading that you have in your order of service, but before we start any of this, let me hear you say a day.
A day!
Like that.
All right. This is by Reverend Naomi King, who's Stephen King's daughter, among other things, and a great preacher and pastor. So, do we really apprehend what a day is? Do we feel its importance? Do we know its capacity?
A day!
It has risen upon us from the great depth of eternity, girt round with wonder, emerging from the womb of darkness, a new creation of life and light spoken into being by the word of God.
A day!
In itself, one entire and perfect sphere of space and time, filled and emptied of the sun.
A day!
Every past generation is represented in it. It is the flowering of all history.
A day!
And in so much it is richer and better than all the other days which have preceded it.
A day!
And we have been recreated to new opportunities with new powers.
A day!
Called to this utmost promontory of actual time, the center of all converging life.
A day!
And it is for today, for today's work we have been endowed, it is for this that we are pressed and surrounded with these facilities.
A day!
The sum of our entire being is concentrated here, and today is all the time we absolutely have. Celebrate today.
A day!
Amen.
I like that one.
Oh,
sorry.
Wait. No. There was a hymn. So please join me rise up in spirit or actual feet, and join me in hymn number 21 in the gray hymnal for the beauty of the earth.
Oh,
picture on the stand in front of me there of one of our longtime church members, Grace Madison, and her husband, Eldon. Grace died on December 29th at the age of 92. She did not want a memorial service and donated her body for research, but I wanted us to spend a few minutes this morning to celebrate her life and her contributions to this church and the greater community. Grace and her husband, Eldon, joined the church in 1963 and immediately became active. And this commitment to helping our church be a liberal beacon in the Metro East continued throughout her life. Grace served as RE director, Sunday school teacher, sponsor of the youth group, board member, including at least one term as president. She worked on the Every Member Canvas, on the long-range planning, on the worship committee, on the finance committee, on the ministerial search committee. She helped wherever the need was. I remember at the end of her term as president, we sang the song Amazing Grace, rewriting most of the words, but keeping in the phrase, Amazing Grace. In more recent years, Grace helped to establish the endowment fund of the church and chaired the endowment committee. Jim Moore remembers how sharp Grace was about the stock market and how determined she was to make the fund a lasting legacy. She linked the endowment to our history, and several years, every February, we would have a Sunday morning church service focusing on our church history, and the collection would go to the endowment fund. In 2009, she, along with Midge Hallett and David and Audrey Wiseman, did extensive research to update our 1986 church history, filling in some missing pieces from the 60s and 70s, and as well as including the 1990s up through the 2009. Grace was also a supporter and a generous contributor to the church's 2013 capital campaign. Pat Morrell writes that she knew Grace through the local National Organization for Women at the time when Grace was president of NOW and the NOW chapter here. And Pat commented that Grace was a gentle but powerful woman. Reverend Sylvia Faulkner, minister here from 79 to 83, and Grace had been on her ministerial search committee, wrote to me that Grace was a wonderful woman and so supportive of Sylvia's ministry and a very gracious and wonderful hostess. Reverend Kleber Van Zandt, minister here from 05 to 14, wrote to me saying that Grace was such a dear and such a grounded and forthright person. He said he would conduct his own memorial service for her in the privacy of his study. And we have Ginger McCall with us this morning, a longtime friend of Grace's, who has some words to share.
I visited several times with my long friend Grace Madison in November and December this past year. Not at her home, she was in a short stay section at Meridian Village, close to where I live. Grace was hoping to go back home after gaining strength after a siege in the hospital. She was alert and eager to talk. There were photos on the wall of Grace's room, pictures of her early adult years when she was in nurses' training in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area during World War II, photos of herself and of Eldon and of their four children. One was taken when the Madisons were living in Pakistan. Grace talked of the stories behind those pictures. My visits were always on Sundays and in the morning. We call them our Sunday morning services. My last visit was on December 18th, and Grace was hoping to go back to her home in Edwardsville at least for Christmas Day. She thought her son, Paul, Kurt, and Roger, and maybe their families would be there to help her celebrate. I hope that did happen. Toward the end of my last visit with Grace, she told me in her matter-of-fact way that she was in the hospice program. That was typical Grace. No expression of anything out of the ordinary, just another fact of life. Grace and I met when we were both new in this area in the 1960s, when Southern Illinois University opened their new campus in Edwardsville. Our husbands were on the faculty. Throughout the years, there were many links between us. First and foremost, involvement in the Alton Unitarian Church activities. We both went back to school and got our master's degrees in psychology department at SIUE. Our daughters Carol and Carolyn were good friends. Our homes were in the same neighborhood. We were strong members of the League of Women Voters, pushing for equal rights for women. And we both grew up in Minnesota. Grace lived up to her name. She had grace, that quiet, gentle quality that provides help if needed and desired. This past week, both my daughters, Carolyn and Libby, gave me examples of that as they remembered her. When Grace and I visited or talked on the phone or saw each other quite by happenstance, there always was joy and great fun in our chit-chats. I just wish there could have been more time together.
Thank you so much, Ginger, for your remembrances of Grace. Please remain seated and join in singing Auld Lang Syne, which means long time past or days long gone by, written in 1788 by Robert Burns. And the words are in the program insert as we remember Grace. From something familiar to something else very familiar. As a child raised in a Methodist church and a young adult in a Lutheran church, I repeated these words from St. Francis. I bet most of you have too. But every time I read it, I find something new. And this time, I thought,
You know, this is a sort of formula or a recipe for how to live, just like the Ten Commandments are. Our tradition believes that those kinds of writings are guidelines, but not strict mandates. But they are very important guidelines about what makes us happy. And the end of this, somehow or other, had so much more meaning when I reread it this time. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. O Divine One, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Not so much to be understood as to understand. Not so much to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. The prayer of St. Francis.
I'd now like to share a reading from the Diary of Anne Frank. I can feel the suffering of millions, and yet if I look up to the heavens, I think it will all come right, and that this cruelty too will end, and that peace and tranquility will return again. In the meantime, I must uphold my ideals, for perhaps the time will come when I shall be able to carry them out.
My reading is called The Journey by Mary Oliver. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice through the whole house, though the whole house began to tremble. You felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheet of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save.
Okay, so how many of you have a little piece of flash paper? Okay. Who would like a piece of flash paper for this ceremony today? There are some up here also. Oh, not anymore. There you go. Excellent. Yes, flash paper burns really fast, and you can write stuff on it. So here's what we're gonna do. You can place your intention on the paper or write for it. There are pens. Maybe we should pass them around.
And so the point of this exercise is that as we look for hope in the new year, we also want to release some of the things that we didn't, that didn't sit well with us in the past year. I mean, it's the 8th of January, so we're still new in the new year. We can do this. The paper you were given is, you can write things that you want to release. You can think things into the paper if you don't want to write, or if your pen doesn't write, or if you have a lot of stuff that you want to say, because you have a little wee bit of paper. And once you're ready,
let it go.
Come up here and consign the paper to the purifying flames. If you want to read what you're letting go once you get up here, for those of you who are extroverts and don't mind, you can do that. If you want to keep it inside, perfectly fine with me. So as you do this and you want to come, this is today in lieu of the stones, so come up here and say a word or two as you burn the thing. And Casey and I will be here. Fire extinguisher and fire blanket are there.
Please watch your step.
We now invite you to, may what was released be gone from your spirit and mind. May you feel renewed and mindful that love is always more powerful than fear, and that compassion is the key to freedom from resentment. Amen.
Now let us take a moment of silence after I read a few words. Giver of life, creative energy, spirit within. Let us start over again today, not forgetting yesterday, but growing from it. Recognizing this very moment as one among the many of today, where the opportunity for good is present. May we accept with gratitude the gifts given us by the universe and learn to use these gifts wisely. So let it be. And now please rise as your in body or spirit and join in singing our last hymn, Fire of Commitment, number 1028 in the Teal Hymnal.
Flame that burns within, then our pride.
you, Nicole. That's wonderful. Isn't it fun? Please be seated. Who's extinguishing our chalice today?
Oh, you are.
I'm going to lead the words and extinguish the chalice. Okay.
Would you please read with me in unison? We extinguish this flame, but we keep its light in our hearts with its message of love and justice, taking it outside these walls to the world we live in until we are together again.
And now our benediction. Out of the flames of fear, we rise with courage of our deepest convictions to stand for justice, inclusion, and peace. Out of the flames of security, scrutiny, we rise to proclaim our faith with hope to heal a fractured and hurting world. Out of the flames of doubt, we rise to embrace the mystery, wonder, and awe of all there is and all that is yet to be. Out of the flames of hate, we rise with the force of love, love that celebrates our shared humanity. Out of the flames, we rise.